Ephesians chapter 6. I will have it on the screen so you can just remain seated tonight. Last Wednesday night we opened a series, probably going to be a short series, but a series on the armor. I don't think anyone here has to be told that we're in a battle. And I say this not as a discouraging remark, but as a remark of challenge. We just need to settle in and realize it's going to be a battle till we get there. Amen? Just settle in and realize that. And sometimes when you realize what you're up against, then that's when relief comes and rest comes. Amen. So we are going to be talking about the armor from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. I want to read those verses again, and if you'll follow along. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The portion I want to look at tonight is this portion, verses 11 through 14. And I want you to notice in these, look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then in verse 14, stand therefore. I want to minister tonight on this segment of the armor. I want to minister on stand. Stand. Hallelujah. We used to sing, I shall not be moved. We wasn't talking about being obstinate or getting in the way. Was talking about resolve. I shall not be moved. Oh, hallelujah. Anchored in Jehovah. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk about standing. Amen. Let's pause for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people with a hunger for your word and desire to worship that are here this evening. Now, Lord, challenge our hearts. Lord, I pray you just do something in our hearts. Help us to have a sense of eternity in this service. Thank you, Lord, that Paul has given us these words that we might prepare and challenge ourselves in this battle against our enemy. Thank you, Lord, for the worship tonight. In Christ's name we pray. Help us, Holy Spirit. Amen. Now again, I deal in realities, and I will tell you that if a person makes a stand, there will be a battle, right? But if a person does not stand, he will lose ground. He will lose what is dear to him. So I really don't see that there's an option. We just need to stand. I think one of the most inspiring short stories of the Bible is the story of Shammah, one of David's mighty men. You know, you got to understand in that time, the Israelites, God's people, were being harassed continually by her enemies, in this case the Philistines. And the enemies of Israel would wait till the Israelites had went out and went to the trouble of planting their crops and watering them and taking care of them. And then just before their crops bore fruit, time to pick the fruit, then the enemies of Israel would come in, run the Israelites off, harvest the lands, or take what was in the barns and take what was in the houses. Well, they were doing that one day. The Bible said, here comes a troop of Philistines. And it said the people of Israel began to flee. I could just see them running. I could just see them running. Here they go. They're taking off running, leaving the houses, leaving the village. And I believe even Shammah, at the start, I believe Shammah began to leave. But he looked back at a plot, a garden of beans. The Bible says lentils. That's beans. And something came over Shammah. He said, I've got too much invested in that plot of beans. I've got too much time, too much effort. And besides that, that plot of beans is important to feeding my family in the winter ahead. And he turned back and he planted his feet in that plot of beans. And he said, I ain't moving. And he raised his sword and said, bring it on if you must, but I'm not giving up this plot of beans. You know, if Shammah can do it for beans, certainly we can do it for our salvation. Here's what the scripture said. He stood, said of Shammah, he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. He did it for beans because he saw that if he kept letting the enemy run over him, they was going to be their next planting season too. And the next planting season. And things weren't going to stop. So Shammah said, it's going to stop right here, right now. And when he made his stand in the midst of that plot of ground, God gave him the victory. I want you to know tonight, if we'll make the stand, God will do the fighting and bring the victory. How many believes it's time to make a stand? I'm talking to all of us tonight, but I've had the young people on my heart as I prepared this. You see, the need to make a stand implies that there is an enemy coming against us. The need to stand says we have an enemy that is ever advancing, ever encroaching upon our territory. An enemy who is forever pushing and grabbing and devouring. Amen. We should not be surprised. Peter said, our enemy, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so I say to us tonight, if you are a believer, there's always going to be a fight. I don't say that to discourage you. I say that to challenge us. There is going to be a fight, but we don't have to flee. There's going to be a fight, but we don't have to give ground. There is going to be a fight, but we don't have to be intimidated. We can stand. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. If you're a believer, there will always be a fight, but the fight will always grow more fierce when you set your heart to draw closer to the Lord. I'm dealing in spiritual realities tonight. If you set your heart to draw closer to the Lord, expect the enemy to get in your face and come against you. The battle grows more fierce when you determine to do the right thing. I can promise you that. I know you can flip the dial and someone will tell you if you'll serve God, you'll make more money than you ever made, drive a better car than you ever drove, live in a bigger house than you ever. But I'm telling you, here's the reality of the thing. If you determine to do what's right, most time it's going to get a lot tougher before it gets better. Because we got an enemy. He don't like right, and he doesn't like you or I doing right. He comes against that. So the battle grows more fierce when you determine to do right. And I believe the battle will grow more fierce as the end draws closer. How many believes that? The battle will grow more fierce as the end draws closer. Satan knows that he has but a short time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Satan knows he has but a short time. But the apostle also said, shortly God will bruise Satan under your feet too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's talk about what it means to stand. What it means to stand. Four times Paul said in these verses, stand. So what does it mean to stand? I want you to think of all the expressions we have in English using the word stand. Stand up. Stand up for what's right. Stand against. Stand against the enemy. Stand for something. Stand your ground. Stand before the onslaught. Stand in the face of adversity. Make a stand. Make a stand. Stand by what you believe. Stand by those that you love. Stand on. As I was preparing this, that old song came on the radio. I'm standing on the solid rock. Though Satan rages, I'm standing on. Look at all these expressions we have even in the English about standing. You know, what is a stand? What does it mean to take a stand? It means a position. A stand is a position. I'm talking about the noun now. It's a position one will hold. I'm not letting go of this position. The Lord has brought me to this place. The Lord has saved me. The Lord has brought me out of bondage and brought me into liberty. And I refuse to let hold of this position. That's a stand. A stand is a belief one will not compromise. You know, we're living a time when folks hardly believe in anything except what's expedient for the moment and what feels good at the moment. But I'm telling you, a stand is when you will have beliefs you simply will not compromise. It doesn't matter if the other kids at school do it. It doesn't matter if the other young people who claim to be Christian do it. It doesn't matter if the church down the road does it. Amen. It's a belief you will not compromise. A stand is a principle one will not let go of. A principle. It's ground you will not yield. So stand. Stand. You see, when the enemy comes against us, we feel the tendency, the want to run. Concede, because that's the easy road. We can be intimidated by Satan. You know, I don't know about all this bravado. You know, some people talk about, oh, I'll tell Satan a thing or two. You better let the Lord tell Satan a thing or two. Right? Because Satan is a formidable enemy. He is. But we don't have to back up. We don't have to back off. We can stand. And this isn't the main thrust, but I just want to just briefly deal with this. Don't stand. Don't ever feel safe. Don't ever feel safe. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about security in the Lord. I'm talking about he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. I talked to someone not long back that was going through great temptation, but they said, don't worry about me though, I'll never fall. Listen, don't ever feel like you're at a place that you're not susceptible to the attacks of Satan. Well, I just feel safe. I feel like I'm above that anymore. Better watch it. If you're going to stand, you can't feel safe. Don't feel surprised. I can't believe the devil's doing this to me. You can't. Don't feel surprised. Well, I thought I'd serve the Lord and just tiptoe through the tulips. Oh, well, that's an old expression. I'll just serve the Lord and everything's going to be nice. I'll serve the Lord and I'll have all kinds of friends and I'll serve the Lord and I'll make all kinds of money and I'll serve the Lord and I'll never get a flat tire and I'll serve the Lord and I'll never catch the flu and I'll serve the Lord and the dog won't bark all night and I'll serve the Lord and I'll have wonderful neighbors and I'll serve the Lord and my boss will pat me on the back every day and tell me what a wonderful person I am. Listen, don't be surprised that the enemy's going to come against you. Amen. In fact, the apostle said, think it not strange when you get in the midst of the heat of the battle and trial. And then, this is hard for all of us, but let's just face it, okay? If we're going to stand, don't feel sorry for yourself. Isn't it easy to do? How many finds it easy to feel sorry for you? You know, I had some little things bothering me today, and I was just really feeling sorry for myself. And then I thought about what was going on in Haiti. We can really feel sorry. Poor me, the devil's been after me. Oh, you wouldn't believe what I face. You wouldn't believe the battle that I go through. Don't feel sorry. That'll keep you from standing. It'll keep you from standing. Amen. Just simply refuse to give the ground. Amen. To be pushed backwards. You know, I know some folks get tired of those worn out expressions, but there's some good ones. Give him an inch and he'll take a mile. How many believes that's true? You let down a little bit. You say, well, what's wrong with that? And you let down a little bit and oh, he gets his foot in the door and you got a mess in a hurry. Give him an inch and he'll take a mile. I was talking to someone recently, I don't know what it was, and big discussion. Well, I can prove that there's nothing wrong with that, and I can prove there's nothing wrong with doing that. Well, look, you may be able to, but I want to tell you something. You're going to have to make a stand somewhere, or the devil's going to run all over you. You have people you need to know where you're going to make your stand. And the whole context of the New Testament is we have an enemy, but we resist him. We stand against him. To stand requires knowing these things. To stand requires knowing these things. First of all, you got to know what you stand for. Do you know what you stand for? What you believe? Amen. One that leaves the ground before the enemy gets there doesn't know a fight. You say, the devil never bothers me. You ought to be pretty concerned. How many would agree with me? If the devil never bothers you, I like to read all those Civil War books and things, but, you know, here's a battlefield. I read the other night where before the Southern Army ever got there, the Northern Army got afraid and just pulled out. Well, they didn't have a fight at that town. They could have had a fight, but there was no fight because the Union Army pulled out. And if you leave the battlefield, there's not going to be a fight. In fact, I thought it was so ironic. This was General Banks. Now, General Stonewall Jackson went up through that Shenandoah battle, and I mean, he was just giving the Union Army with a Watt 4, with a much smaller force. They thought that Stonewall Jackson was still 60 miles to the south, but he marched his men sometimes up to 50 miles in a stretch. I mean, he got them up there, and he was whipping them. And so General Banks got the Union Army and began to pull out there and cross the Potomac River. And here's what General Banks wrote in his report. He said, "You've never seen such a wonderful execution of the crossing of a river by any army. We can consider it a victory." Here he's in retreat. He's been whipped, and his report is, "You've never seen such a wonderful execution of the crossing of the river," talking about his own army, "by an army, and we can consider this a great victory." He considered his retreat a victory. How many knows folks today that consider their retreats victories? You won't know a battle if you're not standing. Know what you stand for. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. There's another one of those old sayings, but I believe it. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Young people, older people, moms, dads, married couple, we need to know what we stand for. We ought to stand for righteousness and holiness and the truth of God's Word and all of that. And sometimes I listen to quote-unquote Christians defend their opinions and defend their beliefs, and I'm thinking to myself, they don't sound like they're defending the Word. They don't sound like they're defending righteousness. It sounds like to me they're defending worldliness. You ever notice that? Listen to them. What are they defending? I've said this. Young people's heard me say it many times. I've had young people come to me and say, "Yeah, but Pastor Hurst, I don't see it that way. I believe something different." And here's my response. Fine. It's okay to believe something different. But what I want you to do is I want you to take the Bible and show me from the Bible what you do believe. If you don't believe what I believe, okay, fine. But take this Bible and now show me what you do believe. Why? Am I trying to be mean or smart aleck? Well, sometimes. No, I'm joking. No, because if you don't stand for something, the devil's going to beat you up and beat you up and beat you up and destroy and destroy and destroy. Amen. And so if you don't believe what I believe, okay, great, but show me where from prayer and wrestling in the Word you've come up with what you are going to stand for and what you do believe. You got to know what you stand for. And then if you're going to stand, you got to know where you stand. You know, one of the things they say in military, they talk about good ground. Good ground. What's good ground? Well, good ground, first of all, is a ground that's worth fighting for. Strategically, in value. It's land overlooking a bridge. It's a pass between the mountains, whatever. But it's land that is strategically worth fighting for. How many knows there are some things worth fighting for? We need to decide where we stand. What is worth fighting for? Do we have good ground? And good ground is ground that you're able to defend and where you have the advantage over the enemy. I'll tell you, I'd a lot rather be trying to fight the enemy from a position of having prayed and been faithful to the house of God and read my Bible and worshiped on a whim. I'd rather fighting from that kind of ground than a ground where I've filled my mind with the filth of the world all the week and listen to the world's music all the week and then try to use that ground to fight the enemy. Where you stand? Where do you stand on issues? Where do you stand in your beliefs? Amen. Compromise is to concede the ground that one is unwilling to fight for. That's what compromise is. Compromise is to concede the ground that a person is just simply unwilling to fight for. You got to know where you stand and what you will fight against. Why do when people argue against convictions, it's a position closer to the world instead of farther from it? You ever notice that? Know where you stand. And you know, I'm not picking on the young people, but you need to know where you stand on a lot of issues. You don't need to wait till you're my age. You need to, right now, know where you stand. Know where you stand on this dating thing. And what's righteous and good in dating and what's worldly and fleshy. You need to know exactly where you stand on that. Amen. You need to know where you stand on music. Need to know where you stand on movies and video games. You need to know where you're going to stand and what kind of sites you're going to go to on the internet. You need to know where you stand and what kind of movies you're going to watch or not watch. I'm talking about overcoming the enemy. I'm not talking about playing games. I'm talking about making a stand. If you're going to stand, you need to know what you stand for and where you stand. You know, you just got to make a stand. I'm preaching to the choir right now, all of you. You're the Wednesday night crowd. But I promise you one thing. It's a battle to get here on Wednesday night. I know that. I appreciate that. I admire folks. They worked hard all day, and some of them just come in and, you know, and it's tough. I admire that. But I promise you one thing. If you quit fighting the battle for Wednesday night, next thing you'll know, you'll be fighting the battle for Sunday night. And then if you give up Sunday night, then you'll be fighting the battle for Sunday morning. It's just the way it works. Know where you stand. And then know why you stand. I believe in knowing why. But one will never fight well without realizing what is at stake. You'll never fight a good battle until you realize what is at stake. Why are we fighting? Why am I fighting? I believe it was Brother Clendenin. He was talking about when he was real weary in battle, they lost most of their company, and he was lying there somewhere over there, and he was so tired, one of those islands there, but he said he had a vision, and he saw, now we're talking about back then, but he saw Japanese, the sun of the Japanese flag, he saw it flying over all of the cities of America. He said when he caught that vision, he got up and he was ready to fight another battle. Why? He saw what? And why he was fighting. I mean, there's a lot at stake at this thing. And I'm being real general tonight because I'm covering a lot of territory. But we need to stand. Why? We need to stand because you love the Lord. You love God. That's why it's worth fighting. Do you want something to take your love for God away? You love God. You care about the things of God. And you fight. You stand your ground because you love God. Not because He made you rich, but because you love Him. No, that's a great, you say that's too general. No, I'm telling you, that's one of the best reasons there is to stand your ground. You know, think how fleshy that some folks can get. Well, I'll serve God, and He blesses them, and things go their way. But the blessings stop, and things quit going their way, and they backslide. And however you want to ride it, what they're saying is, I serve God for what He does for me. I'm telling you, we need to serve Him because we love Him. We make a stand not because if we make a stand, He's going to pour out blessings. We make the stand because, as the psalmist said, I love the Lord. Why do we stand? Because if we don't, Satan will destroy. You let him get you on the run, he's going to destroy your life. Everything you concede to him, where he moves in, there's going to be destruction and heartache and pain and sin. You give him the ground, he's not going. You give Satan ground, he's not going to build a church on it. You can guarantee you that. Amen. Why you stand. What it means to stand. Why you stand. You love God. Satan will destroy you if you don't. God will be disappointed. Have you ever thought about that? Think of sin not as just, well, I broke the law, but as disappointing God. I remember my children were young. I wasn't trying to be mean, but I wanted them to understand this. Sometimes when they broke some of the rules around the house, I'd look at them and I'd say, you really disappointed me. He said, that's mean. No, they need to realize sin isn't just breaking a law. There's a person involved in this. And we make a stand because God doesn't want to see us run. God doesn't want to see us let Satan take control of our lives. God wants to see us live in victory. God wants to see us overcome. And then importantly, why do we stand? Because if we don't, others will be affected. I don't care if it's a 14-year-old member of the youth group or a mom or a dad or a college and career, if you don't make a stand against the enemy and you give ground, I promise you, it's going to hurt other people. It's going to be harmful to other people. Amen. We stand not just for ourselves. We stand for our families. We stand for our brothers and sisters. We stand for those before and after. We make a stand. In fact, we just stand together. Amen. What does it take to stand? What does it take to stand? It takes conviction. You just got to really believe in something. Why do you strongly believe? You know, a person won't stand unless they have conviction. You know, you used to hear a lot of talk about conviction. Back in the 70s, it was, every preacher was talking, well, not every preacher, but talking about the difference between preference and conviction. How many remembers that? You know, preference is just something that you think's good and you prefer, but a conviction is something you'll die for. You remember that? Well, if you're going to stand, you need to have conviction. I got to thinking here of Martin Luther, and you know the story. He made a stand against the Catholic churches and the indulgences and all the abuses, and he nailed those 99 theses to the door, and he made this tremendous stand and began to write and believe in justification by faith. So they brought him before this court of both secular and church authorities, which had the power to put him to death, to burn him at the stake. And they brought him in there and piled his books up and said, will you renounce, will you recant this justification by faith? Will you give up what you believe and give up your speaking out against the church and come back into the fold? And he had a little time to think about it. And they got him back in front of that court. It's called the Diet of Worms. And they got him there, stood him out there in the floor in front of everyone. And here's what Martin Luther said. He said, unless I'm convicted by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Now listen to what he said. Here's how he concluded. Here I stand and I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. In front of that court that could burn him at the stake, but he said, here I stand on my conscience in the word of God. And he refused to yield ground, and he refused to recant. How could he make that stand? Because he had conviction. He strongly believed in what he stood for. And then what does it take to stand? Well, there he is right there. I wanted you to see it while I was telling the story. It takes courage. I read somewhere, and I don't have the specifics, but this teacher, a science teacher, before his class, spent several periods making fun of believing in creation and expounding evolution, and just on and on and on, just ridiculing creation. And after he got through with his lectures, he said, now, does anyone still believe in creation? And one lone young lady in that classroom of peers lifted her hand and said, yes, I do. She made a stand. You know what it took? It took courage. You know, it's time we just be brave. Have courage. It takes courage. I one time I was so proud of one of my children. They called home and said, you know, we're so-and-so, and they put this movie on, and I knew it was bad, and so I just went to the other room and called you. Would you come get me? And they weren't being arrogant or anything else. They were making a stand. But that takes courage. It takes courage when you're in the youth group and say, I'm not watching that. I'm not playing that game. You say, that's silly. No, not when you're trying to make a stand. It's not. It takes courage. Courage. What does it take to make a stand? It takes commitment. Here Paul says, having done all to stand. You know, commitment's nothing more than a determination to continue even when the good feeling's gone. Now, I know that's simple, but I believe that's what commitment is. Determination to stick with it even when the good feeling's gone. That's commitment. Think about exercise. It takes commitment, doesn't it? One more thing. It takes consistency. Four times Paul says, stand, stand, to stand. You know, it takes consistency because no one just makes one attack for a ground. They make attack after attack until they see they can't take it. And if we're going to stand, we have to be consistent because we will have to rebuff attack after attack of Satan because he doesn't give up easily. You know, even Jesus, when he faced the temptation in the wilderness, the Bible said, and Satan left him. Hallelujah. Satan left him. Hallelujah. But what did it say after that? Does anyone know? For a season. But he's going to come and try him again. You must be consistent. Last of all tonight, I'm going to talk just briefly from what Paul said, what we must stand against. What we must stand against. First of all, we must stand against the wiles. The wiles. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I could say the Greek word, you'd recognize it in English. The Greek says here, the methods. The methods. How many know Satan's got methods? He's got strategies. He's got tricks. I hear people sometimes say, sometimes it's young people, I can handle it. I want you to know Satan's tricky. And to say I can handle it is to say I'm smarter than Satan. Now don't lift a hand, but how many here really believes you're smarter than Satan? Okay. I mean, he's got methods. He tends to use the same old things because people keep falling for the same old things. Right? He didn't have to get too creative because some things work so well. You know, when you're going to go fishing, I know they got all kinds of things, but you still can't hardly improve on the earthworm and the chicken liver. They just work. All the technology and everything. And Satan knows there's some things they just work. Doubt. Discouragement. Division. He just knows they work. And the wiles of the devil is the tricks. But what are the wiles? Those are things we walk into. They're the ambushments that we've got to stand against. We've got to be careful. You know, an army will faint one way to try to draw out the army they're coming against. Satan will try to draw us out, get us off the ground that is good ground, and ambush us. We must watch out for what Satan is attempting to trick us with. That's why we make a stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the methods, the strategies of the devil. And then secondly, what we must stand against is wrestling. You know, we've been talking about soldier. We're going to talk about that armor next time. But here it says in verse 12, by the way, this is what comes against us and tries to get a hold of us. That's why he uses the word wrestle. Even when you wrestle someone, your opponent tries to get a hold on you, right? And that's why Paul uses the word wrestle, because there are things that like to try, things in Satan's camp that like to try to get a hold on us. How many's ever felt something of Satan trying to get a hold on you? See, it's wrestling. It's wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, look at all these things he mentions. No wonder he said in verse 10 we need to be strong in the Lord. How many feels like in yourself that you're a match against principalities? in yourself or in myself? Are you a match for these powers? Are you a match for the rulers of the darkness of this world? Are you a match for spiritual wickedness of high? You know, a lot of times it doesn't take a ruler of the darkness, one of Satan's lieutenants. He can send a private against me and give me a hard time. You ever felt that way? Look at all these things that come against us. Now remember what he says, these things want to wrestle us. They just don't shoot at us from the distance. They want to get to hand-to-hand combat. They want to get a hold of us and tangle us up and overpower us. Even we need to stand because we wrestle against these things. Now I want you to know one thing here. Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That does not mean that flesh and blood never give us trouble. It means that even when flesh and blood gives us trouble, it's these other things behind the flesh and blood. I'll tell you, one of the saddest things is when good people allow these spirits in Satan's camp, good people allow these evil things to use them against others. Isn't that sad? But we wrestle against these things. We must make a stand. And then last of all, what we must stand against, Paul said, is wickedness. This is what presses in around us and upon us. It's the very environment that we live in. Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We live in an evil day. It's the whole environment that we live in presses in against us and comes against us. Amen. But Paul says we don't have to give in to that pressure. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can hardly go take a trip to the mall without feeling the influence of the world just pressing in. So you don't just give up to it and say, well, yeah, let's join the world. You stand against that evil, that wickedness. Stand. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. You know, however, formidable our enemy is in his attack, we can stand against him because God will give us what we need to stand. He'll give us the strength we talked about last week. He'll give us the armor that we're going to talk about. But we can stand. Let me say this to make it simple. If we could not stand the attack, Paul would have never told us to stand. If we could not stand it, the attack of Satan, Paul would have never told us to do it. But he told us, encouraged us to do it because we can. Even these things, principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness and high places, we can stand against that in the power of his mind. Right now I'm reading a biography of Stonewall Jackson. I know he was on the South Side. He was a tremendous general. But he first came to fame at the very first major battle of the Civil War. The South called it the Battle of Bull Run, and the North called it the Battle of Manassas. But the Union troops had come across the river and were putting the Confederates to flight. The whole Confederate line was crumbling, running in retreat. General Bernard B. that was running the battle for the South that day on the battlefield, he saw the men retreating, but he saw one brigade that wasn't moving. And it was Jackson's, Thomas Jackson's. And here's what he said to his men. I just wanted to read it to you. He said to his men, he started hollering at them as the men were trying to retreat. He said, look there. He said, there's Jackson standing like a stone wall. Let us determine to die here, and we will conquer. Follow me. And so as the men began to retreat, he saw this one brigade with its leader refusing to budge. And that became the battle cry. Look there at Jackson. He stands like a stone wall. That caught. And forever after, he's been known as Stonewall Jackson because he refused to budge under the fire of the enemy. He refused to give ground. He refused to retreat. Now, I know of worse nicknames, don't you? I think it's a pretty good nickname. Stonewall Jackson. Refusing to budge. Paul said, stand. Don't give ground. Hallelujah. We don't have to give Satan any ground. I talked to someone in distress this afternoon, and Satan's just having his way in this person's life and his family's life. And I just began to ask him, I said, are you trying to stand against him? Or are you just letting him do it? Are you just conceding? Are you just giving? Listen, we don't have to. We can stand. We can be the Stonewall. Stonewall Jackson, get a look at him. I know he's not the most pretty fella, but I'm telling you what, he stood. So what if we took that? Instead of Stonewall Jackson, what if we said Stonewall Michael just refuses to run from the enemy? Or Stonewall Luke. Or Stonewall Grant. Or Stonewall McKelvey. Would that be all right? I'd like to say that of folks. I want to be fair here. What about Stonewall Angela or Stonewall Breck or hallelujah? I think we ought to be like stonewalls before our enemy. And we can stand because we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and we can put on the whole armor of God. There are things coming against us. They're almost unimaginable. But I'm telling you, in these last days, we can stand. Got good ground. The plot of beans is worth fighting for. And we've got far more than a plot of beans. Amen? Music, would you come? Let's just stand all over the building. Lift our hands and say, Lord, I want to be strong in You and in the power of Your might. Could you invite Him? Say, Lord, I need strength. I need Your power. I don't want to give ground. I refuse to give ground. But, oh God, if You would strengthen me. God, if You would empower me, I will put on the whole armor of God. I will make my stand. I will refuse to budge. I'll know what I believe. I'll know where I stand, Lord. And I refuse, oh God, to let the enemy push me and destroy me and cause me to go backward and cause me to lose out and cause me to sacrifice what is dear to my life for fleeting worldly things. But I will stand against Him. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. It took me a little bit, but James said it in one line. He said, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. And James told us how to resist the devil. He said, submit yourselves therefore to God. Give yourself to God and you'll be able to resist the devil. Let's come and pray and say, oh God, I'm going to stand. Regardless, Lord, I'm going to stand. I refuse to budge. I'm not going to let him run over me, run me out of town. I'm going to stand.
Stand for holiness.
You can stand.
For righteousness and be counted.
Oh, bless the Lord. You can stand.
Stand when friends are gone. Stand when you're all alone. And believe He shall receive His own. Stand for holiness. Stand for righteousness and be counted among them that shall reign with Him.